Leviticus chapter number 10 in your Bible. What a blessing to be back here at the great church here in Rogersville. And I appreciate the man of God and him inviting us to come back. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do tonight. And it's a blessing. He's already verified in my heart. I'm telling by what he's already been saying concerning the old fire and the match and different things he's been talking about. We're going to be looking at, I believe God wants us to take a look here in chapter number 10. And we're going to start reading in verse number 1. And if you found your place in Leviticus chapter 10, verse number 1, say, I am there.
I am there.
Hey, that's pretty good. Y'all found that book. Amen. Look at the Bible now. The Bible says a Nadab and Abihu. Don't that make you feel better about your name? Abihu and Abihu. I hope they know what Abihu's in here. Are there any Abihu? Okay. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Does anybody remember Aaron? You saw the Ten Commandment movie? Charlton Heston, Aaron. Y'all remember that? Aaron's the priest. Amen. And Aaron was the brother to Moses. It says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein. They're going to go worship God. They're going to go offer up to God. And they've got their incense and they've got their censers and they're in the right family and they've got the right to go in. My, looks like everything's going to be a good day here in worshiping for these two. But the Bible says, and they offered up strange fire. Strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. God said no, but they said yes. God said don't do it. They said we don't see nothing wrong with it. God said I will not accept it this way, but that's what they decided to do. So they came before God with strange fire. How is God going to react to such a thing? Well, the Bible says, and there went out fire from the Lord. He's got his own fire. And devoured them. He caught them on fire and they burnt to death right in front of everybody. Y'all listening?
Amen.
And they died before the Lord. God killed them. Because
yes.
He brought strange fire in there. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it. That the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Aaron didn't say one word. How would you feel, Daddy, if God just killed your two sons right in front of you, and then your brother, amen, he basically turned around and told you, better not say anything, because this is God doing this.
Yeah.
And so Aaron didn't say anything. My, how serious a thing it is that they brought in strange fire before the Lord. I'm preaching just a little while this evening on that subject, strange fire. Strange fire. Let's pray and you can be seated. Father, again, it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege to stand behind this pulpit.
Yes.
I love this dear precious man of God and his people. And I pray, God, that tonight you would use me, dear Lord.
Yes.
God, may you help me, Lord, and fill me, God, with your spirit. Lord, may you forgive me, Lord, for anything I've done that's not pleasing to you. And help me, dear Lord, to be a clean vessel of honor tonight. And God, may you fill me, Lord, and stir me, God, to preach with power that only you can give. And Lord, I pray for the people that are here tonight, Lord, that you would encourage them. If there be somebody that's backslid on you, this would be the time to help them, Lord. And God, for those that are here, if there be someone not saved, I pray, God, this would be the night they would see themselves lost and in need of a Savior. Lord, I desire and want to be a help out of this church tonight. Lord, may we leave from here tonight and be closer to you than when we came in. And Lord, may we never, ever forget this message tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all of it. For we ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. Now, I'm dealing tonight with the subject of strange fire. Now, if God really wants to get your attention, and he does, he'll do something real drastic. You've heard and studied it, no doubt, of the principle of first mention. You can start out in the Bible when God mentions something for the first time. He'll make it so drastic, amen, and he'll set a tone for the rest of the entire Bible. Amen. God also does that by giving us some examples in the Old Testament and even in the New. Can y'all remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira? Y'all remember they told the men of God, the apostles, they told them that they had give all. They'd sold and they give all. But that was a lie. And so what did God do? Well, God killed him. That's what God did. He brought in the man first. He lied. God killed him. And it was God that killed him. Amen. And then his wife comes in and God killed her too. So then there we see two that died. Now, does God kill everybody that lies? Say, thank God. No, he don't. Go ahead and smile now. I'm going to ask you in a minute if you've ever told a lie. And you better not lie either. God don't kill everybody that lies, but he did set an example by that story, and that actually happened. God wanted us to understand how serious of a thing it was that when you lie to the Holy Ghost of God, how God feels about it. And we can look at the Old Testament and find example after example after example of where God would do something drastic to show something. Y'all remember the story about David when he committed the adultery and had the man killed and had the little baby? You want to know who killed the baby? God killed the baby. You say God wouldn't kill the baby. God killed the baby. God did. And why did he? It's to show how serious of a thing it was to commit adultery and have someone killed. God killed the baby. Amen. So then, God wants us to see how serious this is. Boy, it was serious. Amen. To lie to the Holy Ghost. Boy, it was serious. Amen. To commit adultery and have a man killed to try to cover. That's serious. But to God, this is serious. So serious that God, amen, killed two men, amen, for what they did. They brought before the presence of God strange fire. So we got to understand, what is this? Amen, what is it that's so important that God would kill people over it? And this is it. God, amen, wanted it to be a continual fire. God did not want the fire to go out, and God didn't want it to, amen, to become a new fire. Y'all remember the story how David bringing back in the Ark of the Covenant and he's bringing it back in. They put it on a new cart. Yeah. Y'all remember that? He reached up and stable. God killed him. You say, God killed him because he touched it. No, God killed him because they were bringing it in the wrong way. They were bringing it in a new cart, and God said, that ain't the way I told you to bring it in. I didn't tell you to bring it in with animals drawn in. I told you how to bring it in, but you're not doing it right. And so God, amen, has a way of getting our attention. And tonight, God wants our attention right here at this church. And in my church, amen, in every church, amen, that's still doing it the old-fashioned way. He wants to encourage us in this message tonight. Amen, I'm dealing with the subject of strange fire. It wasn't too long ago. It's been a few years ago. I went to the mailbox there at the church and got the mail out. Came back into my office, and in amongst all that mail, there was a tube. And I reached and got that tube, and I opened up the end of it and reached my finger in there and pulled out this poster. Hey, you might have got it too. Opened up the poster, I opened it up, rolled it out, and at the top of it said, "Acquire the fire." Well, that sounds pretty good, don't it? Don't that sound good? Acquire the fire. Praise God, that's what we need. And so I seen that big head. I said, whoa, acquire the fire. And I looked down underneath it, and there was an ocean, a sea, hundreds of young people with their hands up like this. I mean, just crying and looking up. Man, just an ocean of them. And I said, wow, look at that. And then I looked down a little bit lower, and it said it was a concert called Acquire the Fire. And they had these groups. And I wrote it down. One of the names of the groups was Skillet, and then Cutlass, and Rockaferma. I'm looking around to see if any of y'all listen to them groups. Some of y'all looking serious. And I looked at these groups, and Brad, it was pathetic. I mean, it was bad. I've heard preachers like Brother Ken would say they looked like they need to be sprayed and dipped and wormed. These guys were looking rough. I'm talking about they looked like one of the worst gangs you've ever seen. Now, when I take a picture, and I know what you're thinking. You're, man, it's amazing. He looks younger every time he comes up here. That's what y'all think. But when I take a picture, if I was going to take a picture of your pastor, you know what he'd do? He'd smile. Amen. He'd want to present to you the best look that he had. Amen. Same way with me. If you said, Brother Fraser, you and your wife step over here, I want to take a picture of you, I'm going to put it on. Amen. But this group here, this is how they looked. We're talking about a Christian. We're talking about they're going to have a Christian concert here. And they were some of the, I mean, they was making faces like they hated your stinking guts. And man, they, one of them had to hold on to his britches up here. One of them, I mean, just tattooed up. One of them, one whole group was turned around backwards. They didn't even have enough sense to know you're supposed to turn around. So when I saw that, I decided, Brother Henry, I would zoom in a little bit. And I began to look at that crowd that looked like my, that first initial look, it looked like, wow, look what God is doing. But as I looked, I started zooming in on them. And they were dressed ungodly. And I mean, it looked like the worldliest crowd you ever seen. Hey, man, I'm just not going to preach anymore about it. But you can picture it. You can see it in your mind. You know what that was? Hey, man, that was called, in this term here, strange fire. They wanted you to send your precious young people that you're fighting every acre, amen, amen, trying to fight it so that these young people will have a chance in life. They want him and me, amen, to send our young people up to that worldly concert, amen, so they can ruin them. But God ain't into that new stuff. So I love coming to churches where I can preach. Amen. And know that they're still trying to do it the old time way. Amen. Strange fire. Amen. And you know where it begins at many times? It begins, number one, here's the outline for the night, strange music. See, music is a powerful thing. Music, amen, can change the moods of people. Music, amen, can change even the entire atmosphere on the inside of a person. Amen, music can cause you to do things you'd never done. Many a girl had lost their purity because of music. Amen. Many a boy done bad things because of music. A while back, and it's been a couple years ago, but there was a boy that got up and killed his mama and daddy in their bed. And when they interviewed him, he said, because the music told him to. Y'all remember that? Anybody remember that beside me? The music told him to. Let me let you in on something else. I'm looking over in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, and I found out that the devil, amen, was made for the glory of God. God, amen, now, his name was Lucifer. He was an angelic being. He was a cherubim. Amen. God created him to bring honor and glory to God. And God could beam his light off of him. Amen. And just like a ring. Maybe you got a diamond or something. Or you went down to the jewelry store and you seen all those lights flashing off of those diamonds and streaks of red and blue coming out. And man, I figured you girls would have shouted, amen. Amen. But God actually had Lucifer and made him, amen, so that God, the Lord Jesus, in his brilliant light could ricochet off of him. And they could wow and be amazed at the glory of God. Amen. And inside of the devil was tabrets and harps. I mean, pipes on the inside. He could actually produce music from within inside. And I'm not talking about peeky peeky. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about that. Had somebody come down the road the other day, and I said, honey, I think we've had an earthquake. And my goodness, the chandeliers was rocking, and the pictures were vibrating on the wall. And man, I said, hold on, honey, this is it. And it was an S10 pickup truck about 3 inches off the ground went by. I thought we was leaving out of here. I thought the atomic bomb had went off. Now, listen to me for a minute. The devil, before he was a devil, amen, he had the ability to play music from the inside. You think he understands music? He understands music more than anybody in this room. And he knows the power of music and what music will do. Amen, I know Brother Barry knows this. Amen, but you remember Brother Buster Seaton. What a great man of God, and had power and spoke with authority. Amen, when he got up to preach, it was different. You say, well, I heard about him. I heard what he did. Listen to me. He used to preach on the subject of rock music. He preached it several times that I heard him. Amen. And he would sit there. I'd sit with him. And he'd say, the devils are going to get angry tonight. And I'd say, why, Brother Buster? He said, because I'm going to preach on rock music. Rock music. He'd tell you the words and what they were, and he began to preach, and the devils would attack him. Man, many a time I've heard him preach it, and when he'd get done, they would be bombarding him so much, he'd just hit the side door, go out and get in the car, wouldn't even get his offering. And you knew it. What a man of God. But the devils hated that he was revealing rock music. Now we got rap music. He didn't have to deal with that much like we do today. Rap music. And then there's country music that's turned off to be so rotten. And I realize they steal a few country songs that glorifies God. I'm not dumb. But the majority of the new stuff is all wicked is what it is. So then there's strange music. And if you're not careful, you'll invite it into the church. And they'll get up and sing special songs and rap it out. Or they'll get up and sing a song and have a rock band, CD behind it. Amen. Are y'all listening? Amen. And that's called strange fire. It's not God's way. I'm thinking of a church right now that I preached many revivals in, saw many people saved, probably preached there 15 years. And listen to me now. Hey, man, tonight, it's nothing left. And what he decided to do was bring in the wrong music. And he decided to drop some standards. And he thought he could get more people. He was probably a church about this size. Had a choir as good as yours was. I shout the house down. Amen. Talented people in the church. But he decided that he was going to go a new direction. He was going to go the strange fire way. And when he did, the people that really wanted God started easing away. We love you, Pastor, but we can't go that direction. We love you, Pastor, but we can't go that direction. And he got caught up in it, wanted that strange fire so bad, amen, that he just kept pushing it until everybody left. And he was left with him and his wife and his son and his wife and three or four others. So I was preaching revival down there last year at a church a little bit from it. And every Wednesday night I'd have to drive by and I noticed there wasn't nobody in the parking lot. I asked somebody, what's going on down there? And they said they don't even have Wednesday night service anymore. Hey, they don't have Sunday night service anymore. They don't have Sunday school anymore. They come at 11, they're out by 12. You all know what that is? Anybody want to listen? It's a dead church. To dead. Used to have life as much as ours. Used to shout it out and run laps and go out in the yard. Hey man, hand out tracts and preach on the street corner and had a pile of people that loved God. And now it's dead. Dead. Started with music. Y'all know the story over yonder in the book of Daniel when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they've been told they're going to bow to this image. And what did they tell them? When all this different types of music's played and begins to tell the sackbut and the flute and the harp and all this kind of stuff. And then it gets down and just says, and all kinds of music. Just when everything's thrown out there at the same time. Don't make no sense. Just you can't understand it. Just a bunch of music that I want you to bow down. And they wouldn't bow down. They wouldn't bow down. Music, listen to me, young people. And there's a lot of young people in here tonight. I thank God for it. Listen to me, young people. One of the biggest ways the devil will try to get you, one of the probably biggest advantages that he's got, amen. Hey, there's a pile of music out there that they're calling Christian music. And this is where I'm going to, this is where I'm going to need amen, a real big one. There's no such thing as Christian rock music. Amen. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as Christian rap music. There's no such thing. You say, but the words are good. Hey, let me tell you something. I had a man one time gave me a little old cassette. He said, preacher, he said, I want you to listen to this. He said, we've got a rock band down here at the Church of God, a prophecy down here in Morgantown, and said, we've got us a group, and we want you to hear it. You might want to have us come. And I said, well, what kind of music is it? He said, well, just listen to it, man. It's great. He said, we've wrote our own stuff, and said, man, it's really good. I stuck in that little cassette. I turned it on, and he took an old Hotel California song. He took one called Here Comes Hot Nancy. And he had put Jesus in her. He's looking mighty fine. No. That's strange fire. Hey, man, I pulled it out, handed it back to him, said, I'm not interested in that. I said, that's ungodly. That's wicked. That's an old rock song. And he said, oh, you're just being critical. You're a legalism. I'm a cult now because I didn't like his music. Well, let me let you in on something. You better watch it now. You better listen to me. Preacher's going to tell you, amen, music is powerful. Music can take you places you never would have thought you'd went. Have you do things you never would have dreamed you would have done. My, I promise you, I could probably stop right now and just say, give us some testimonies. And there's some men in here could step up and say, I remember when I heard that rock song and it got me so stirred up. I got in a fight with somebody. Or some woman stand up, hey, and say, I remember, rock music took my purity. Amen. And that's a hard thing to say. But rock music will do it. Rock music has no place in the house of God. Rap music has no place in the house of God. Amen. Country music, well, that beat and bang and whine and all that stuff don't need to be in the house of God. Don't need to be in the house of God. I figured I'd get more amens up here in Rogersville than that. Amen. Amen. That's because you got that CD hid in there. Amen. No such thing. No such thing. Amen. And then not only strange music, but strange markings. I want you to turn over just a little bit to chapter 19 with me for just a minute. Chapter number 19. Amen. And I'm looking at verse number 28, where the Bible says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. And I love this part right here, but this is where God says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, God says. Brother Henry, he has to make sure that you know that he is the boss, that he's the Lord. I am the Lord. Don't make any cuttings on your body for the dead. Don't make any printings in your body. Don't mark yourself up. Amen. You say, preacher, what you talking about? Hey, let me tell you what's a big thing now is for everybody to get a tattoo. And I realize that there's probably somebody in here, probably several in here that's got one. I'm not mad at you. Preacher loves you. Amen. God saved you. Amen. But hey, don't get mad at me for trying to keep these young girls and young boys from getting some ungodly, wicked, vile, wretched, nasty tattoo on themselves. Some of you looking mean at me now because I'm talking about your tattoo. Yeah, I'm getting mean eyes on. Well, mine's a picture of Jesus on here, and I got a Superman frame around him. God don't want you to have Jesus in a Superman frame. By the way, that's not Jesus anyway. Homosexual painted that picture. Right? That ain't nothing what he looked like. Amen, that's right too, ain't it? I love it when I'm right. Don't you? Amen. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't no long-haired, beautiful-looking, perfect cheekbone, prettiest nose you ever seen. No, he was a Jew. He was a Jew. Do y'all know what a Jew looks like? Probably had a big nose. Probably looked like something like that. We don't know what he looked like. God didn't want us to know what he looked like. But he don't look like that tattoo. You'll say, preacher, well, I'll get me one of them Chinese emblems on my neck. That's what I'll do. Man, do you have any idea what that means? No, you don't. That's why that guy down there at the tattoo place is giggling while he's putting it on your neck. You don't have any idea what that right there means. Probably means I am an idiot. You don't know what that Chinese says. Oh, that means courage. That means power, strength. No, actually it means you're a weirdo. Tattoos. A Mexican man walked across in front of our church a while back. I stepped out there. I couldn't talk to him, but I took a track, went out there and handed it to him. Even had a little John Roman Spanish, took out of there and handed it to him, and he was drunk. He just staggering like this. He's a drunk. And when I walked up to him, I said, sir, can I give you this? And when I handed it to him, he looked at it, and he said, oh. He said, and so he took his shirt and pulled it back like this, and on his back was a full, all shoulder to shoulder, cross with Jesus on it. And he thought that really impressed me. But that didn't impress me. And I began to weep for him. Tried to talk to him, but I couldn't talk to him. But hey, just because you got a tattoo of Jesus on your back don't mean you're going to heaven when you die. Listen to me, young people. God don't want you to make any. How many? Any. Don't make any. Is anybody mad at me? I don't think the pastor's mad at me. I might have to stay up here on the stage where I feel more comfortable. Amen. God said that he didn't want any markings. Any. None. Amen. None. No. None. Girls, don't ever Let somebody talk you into going and getting a tattoo. You don't need a tattoo. God said no, and he said, I am the Lord. And if you're, especially if you're saved, you know what? If you're lost, you ought not to ever get one. But if you're saved, especially don't ever get one. You say, yeah, but it's a cool thing to do. It ain't going to be cool when you get older. See, you get that little strawberry right here, but when you're 50, it's a big tomato. What are you going to do with it now? You know that's funny, young man. You know it is. Big old tomato with a big lump hanging out on the side of it. You know that's funny. See, God ain't in that. God don't want you doing that. Hey, your body's supposed to be a temple. It's supposed to be a temple that the Holy Ghost of God lives in. Amen. The pastor said it when you got saved. Amen. You're supposed to be bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to God. Amen. You don't have the right nor permission, amen, to put any kind of printing on your body. And cutting yourself? Are you serious? Cutting yourself? Why would God put that in way back in the book of Leviticus? Because he knew in this crazy day we're living in, people actually take a razor blade, get in the bathroom and sit there and cut rows on their arms and let the blood roll out in the sink and think that's something godly. Hey, hey, listen to me. That's devilish right there. That's devilish. You say, preacher, I've tried that. Don't ever try it again. Ask God to forgive you. Amen. If you've got a tattoo, cover it up. Tell God you're sorry. You won't never do it again. Amen. Don't go to Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge if you can't. Amen. Push back from the tattoo signs. That's exactly right. Markings, amen. No such thing. I'm going to need a big amen right here. Brad, I'm going to need a big one. Can you give me a big one? Amen. You're prepared for it. There's no such thing as a Christian tattoo.
Amen.
That's the best you could do. God help. Brother Henry, you can help me bigger. That's exactly right. There's no such thing as a Christian tattoo. Well, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to glorify God. No, you're not going to glorify God, because God done said don't put any printings on your body. Hey, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Some of you look like you're mad at me now because you've done had you an appointment made. Cancel it. Cancel it. Call them up. Well, I'm just going to get me a tribal band. I'm going to get me a tribal band so my muscle look bigger. And you get that round thing on there. You know, them girls see that tricep in the back. And they'll really be wild. Now, you don't have any idea what that tribal band's talking about. Them tribes, they didn't love God. They don't love God. Get away from it. Get away from it. That's strange. Hey, man, that's strange. Hey, and I've come up here. Might as well preach while I'm up here. Ain't that right? He preaches to us when he comes to our church. Y'all believe it? You know what? When he comes to our church, he don't even care if I like it. It's exactly right. Amen. So I see strange music. I see strange markings. I see strange marriages. Turn to chapter number 18 real quick. Bible says, verse 21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, that strange fire. There shalt thou profane the name of thy God. Let me say something right there. It's amazing how many times we're hearing God's name being used in vain nowadays. Amen. And so you can understand, I had somebody the other day, and I mentioned it to them, and they said, you know why so many people's talking like that? Because preachers don't never say nothing about it. So I took that and decided I'd say something about it every once in a while. Amen. But you just because you've seen something good or something bad happen doesn't mean that you're supposed to use God's name in vain. And it don't have to be a curse word in front of it or after it in order for it to be in vain. Y'all know what vain means? It means without purpose, without reason, empty. Amen. You're using God's name for no reason. Amen. God doesn't want you to use his name in vain. He doesn't want you to say, oh my, and then throw his name in there just because you had a flat tire or a deer run across in front of you or whatever. Amen. You saw the special sale at the Kmart, the blue light come on, and you screamed out, oh my, no. God don't want you to use his name like that. You said, ain't that big of a deal. Just big enough deal in here that God kills somebody for strange fire. Amen. It's in the Ten Commandments. God don't want nobody to use his name in vain. It made the top 10, friend. It made the top 10. You think God's serious about it? Made the top 10.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And that was free. And then God puts it in here again. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I'm the one that's supposed to be telling you what to do. Look at verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And you say, yeah, but the president said it's okay. No, the president cannot tell you that it's okay. God's the Lord. You say, well, my cousin. Well, I don't care about your cousin. Well, my sons, hey, I don't care about that. I'm telling you what God said. God said no. You said, yeah, but Brother Fraser, the Supreme Court. They're not the Supreme Court. There's a higher court than that with a judge that said no. And it don't matter whether Tennessee votes it in and America goes for it and they promote it. Somebody just told me the other day they're going to have an Easter egg hunt and it's going to be all of the gays are going to gather together at the White House yard and have a big Easter egg hunt. But let me tell you something. God said no. And all we're doing, Brother Rackley, is pushing God. All we're doing is shoving God and say, what you going to do? What you going to do? As a nation, we're saying, what you going to do? And don't get mad at God now when he does something. Remember old Habakkuk over there. How long, God? How much longer are you going to let this happen? And then God decides to do something and it's, whoa, God, don't you love us? And that's the way we're going to feel. But he'll be right. Amen. Strange marriages and strange movings. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you what we've got in Ray County. We've got every flavor, including Tutti Frutti. Are y'all listening? We have got them all. We've got one called The Bar. You can drive by it. It used to be called the Watts Bar Church of God, but now they just took it all off the sign and they just call it The Bar. And the new pastor that they've got, they've got rock band, they got the smoke and the lights and they've got their drum sets and all that kind of stuff. And this is what he does. He lets them sing one worldly song every service. And they said, man, they're growing. Man, don't that just tempt you to want to grow? No. You want to know why it don't tempt him? Because he knows that's strange fire. That's strange fire. Hey, man, but we've got the bar and we've got the grove and we've got the house and we've got the porch and we've got the well and we've got the city and we've got every kind of silly little something. Hi, brother, Wayne Sexton over has got the Rio with a mosh pit. Y'all know what a mosh pit is? That's where somebody jumps out over the crowd and they feel of them all over and let them surf through the crowd in church. You say, that's wicked. That's exactly right. That's wicked. That's called strange fire. God ain't in 1,000,000,000 miles of that. Amen. Strange movings. Maybe I should change victory to the Vic. I'll step down and let Linda be the pastor. With Pastorette Linda Fraser at the Vic. Free tattoos, all the rock music you can stomach. Boy, wouldn't we have a show? You know what we'd do, don't you? We'd probably have a crowd like you wouldn't imagine. Oh, you'd start hearing about it down there at the Vic. They got 1,000 people coming. That's exactly right. Just tell them, you can just come any way you want to, leave like you are. Amen. Come dressed ungodly, wicked. You don't even have to wear nothing if you don't want to. Just come on in. We'll have a rock concert. Amen. We'll all stand around and tell everybody about how good they are. Amen. And pat you on the back. Amen. And then we'll just have ourselves a time. We'll have Sister Fraser get up. Amen. We'll shave one side of her head and paint the other side pink. Get her a tattoo of Jesus on the side of her face. Wow! And give free counseling to same-sex marriages and have them all come up. Man, we'll just marry. We'll have the Vic. We'll have 2,000 in a year's time. Man, we'll be doing something for God. No, we won't. No, God said no, no. Matter of fact, you know what I know he'd do to me? He'd kill me. And if he didn't, Barry Rackley would. That's exactly right. And Henry'd help him. I can hear it now. Henry called him up. You heard about Brother Fraser down there? Brother Rackley said, y'all heard something about it? And I said, let's go down there and kill him. Yeah. Brother Henry said, I'll drive. His wife said, no, you don't have to drive. I'm driving. I'll drive him down there myself. Yeah. Kill him. Put him out of his misery. Yeah. All right, so then there's strange music. There's strange markets, strange marriages, strange movements. My, I have seen every kind of silliness. People been bringing me DVDs and an old cassette, old VCR tapes, and laughing revivals and blowing crowds down and hitting people and knocking them down and acting like they're healing people when they ain't. Somebody gave me an old one of Kenneth Hagin. Anybody ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? Ungodly, wicked thing. He's walking down through there and his tongue's going in and out. He's acting like he's so full of the Holy Ghost that he can't walk. And so he's got two men on each side. They're holding him up and he's staggering through the crowd. And he'll just turn and look at a crowd that's hundreds of people. I'm talking about hundreds, plural of people. And he'll turn and look at them and blow, and the whole crowd will fall down. You say, yeah, that's bad breath. But let me tell you what it actually is. It's devils flowing out of his mouth. You say, if I was there, he wouldn't blow me down. Oh, yeah, he would. Devils coming out of his mouth. Devils. Hey, you're talking about a preacher standing there with his tongue going in and out like a snake? He's a devil. He'd blow and them devils would come out of his mouth. You say, you believe that preacher with every ounce and every hair on my head? And on sides and in the back. So we've got strange movings. Then there's strange masters. You say, preacher, I just don't see what's wrong with all that stuff. That's because you don't have the right master. See, according to the Bible, my sheep hear my voice is what God said. My sheep hear my voice. Well, I'm saved, but I've got to tell you, I'm saved, and I'm going to go do that. I'm saved, and I listen to that kind of music. I'm saved. Let me tell you something. God said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. See, I am the Lord, he said. I am the Lord. Amen. So then there's the strange message. Amen. Strange message. What is the strange message? The strange message of today, amen, is a message that you're just going to end up in heaven. That's just it. You don't have to accept Christ. You don't have to repent. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to do anything. Those old preachers like Barry Rackley and Henry Owens is standing up there preaching and shouting and telling people that they'll live for God. And the new thing is just don't do none of that. You don't have to do none of that. That's legalism. That's a cultish. Amen. They're telling you that you don't need to do this. Don't do that. Get away. Don't drink. Don't cuss. Don't do dope. All that kind of stuff. And they're saying here, you can just live it up. Do all that you want to. And you'll still go to heaven when you die. But God said no. And the one that's going to take you to heaven said no. And the only one that can get you to heaven said no. So men can say yes, and women can say yes, and churches, so-called churches, can say yes, but God said no. God said there's only one way to go to heaven when you die, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by handing out enough literature like the Jehovah's Witnesses would say, or it's not like just being baptized and it's going to wash away all your sins, amen, in the water. No, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us our sin. It was God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus, to die on a cross and shed his blood, to be tortured on a cross, to be skinned alive on a cross. Amen. Amen. They whipped him till his skin was gone. They beat him till his bones, come out and could stare at. They whipped him and beat him until, blood gushed from his body. And then they put him on a cross and they nailed him there. And he bled to death, literally bled to death. Amen. He bled to death. Winning souls. Making a way. That's the old... You said, preacher, I've heard that all my life. That's because it's not strange fire. See, the new way is strange to God. And God won't accept it. 2,000 years now. 2,000 years. And 4,000 before that. See, Abraham heard the gospel. Amen. Noah heard the gospel. He said, no, Adam heard the gospel. You think God just walked up and pitched over them clothes to him, turned around and walked on and said, that'll look better than them fig leaves? Somebody told me the other day that they had studied somewhere and they said that certain kind of fig tree that they used would have been like poison ivy. That'd have been a bad day, wouldn't it? I don't know anything about that, but I'm going to tell you something. God didn't just walk up and pitch those skins over and say, here, this will look better on you. This is more in style. This will be a better cover. Amen. So just don't worry about that other stuff. You can put your leaves up to put this on, and I'll talk to you some other time and lay off to know. God sat down and explained to Adam. He explained to him what you've done, Adam. This is what God didn't leave him in darkness. God explained to him. Amen. God explained to him that he was going to give his son. It may have been Jesus in the garden that he walked with every day. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And God talked to him and God explained to him. And God told him how that he was, God gave him the gospel. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. And he's gave everybody down through the eon. Hey, all the time of man from the beginning, he's gave them the gospel. And it's always been the same. It's always been the same. It's always been that Jesus is going to die on the cross and that's the only way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. If you know where the Father's at and you say, I do, amen, you're going to get to heaven the same way everybody else is, and that's through Jesus Christ. All of this Muslim stuff, you say, you can't say that. Oh, yeah? Muslim, 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 Muslim. And two more Muslims and an Islam and three more Muslims and two more Islams. They said, you can't do that. Yeah, I just did it. Three more times. I hope you're taping it. We'll put it on Larry King Live. Brother Frazier said, Muslims are not going to heaven when they die. You'll say, yeah, but that little guy with the jerry curly hair and the big smile on his face, he said that everybody was going to be. No, no, they're not going to be okay. They're not. What's his name? I'm trying to remember his name. Y'all know the sissy that's got thousands that stand up yonder while he talks. Joel Osteen. Yeah, they ask him, is Jesus really the only way? You know what he did? Strange fire. He said, well, I'm not the judge. Well, then he said, I didn't ask you if he's a judge or not. I'm asking you, is Jesus the only way? And he fell back and said, well, I don't judge man's hearts. Well, I would to God they'd ask me if Jesus is the only way. Hey, Larry, where you at, Larry? Let me get on your show. Call Barry Rackley and get him on your show. And ask him if Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. And if you try to climb up some other way, God will treat you as a thief and a robber. I love Brother Henry Owens and his wife. They've been a blessing to me down through the years. Amen. They're still sticking with the old stuff. But you know what? If I was to come over to Brother Henry's house, knock on the front door, he opened up the door, I believe his wife would say, Brother Frazier and Sister Linda, come on in. And she'd probably say, hey, you want something to drink? I've got some tea or whatever. And she'd say, I just made some pie. And would you like a piece of apple pie with some ice cream on it? Praise God, when we coming over, sis? And she'd probably say, come on in here and sit down. Brother Henry would come in. He'd probably hug my neck, say, Brother Frazier, I love you. It's a blessing to see you. What y'all doing up this way? Amen. All that kind of stuff would be great. But let me ease through the night in a dark outfit. Come up maybe by their bedroom window and ease over to the bedroom window with a crowbar and ease up prying on the window and get that thing pop loose and ease it up and start squeaking. All of a sudden it goes, and I push it up. All of a sudden I hear this noise, click, click. Brother Henry flips the light on. His wife's got a double barrel pointed right at my face. And I'm going to say, oh, it's me. It's me. It's Brother Frazier. Can I have some pie? No. No, she's going to say, don't you move, or I'm going to blow all of your brains out on the yard. She probably wouldn't do that, but he would. I guarantee you he'd have a .45 or something stuck back there somewhere, or maybe a .357 Magnum. He'd probably pull that thing out and point it right between my eyeballs. Now I'd probably have a scar the rest of my life right there on my forehead. Because he'd say, I don't know you. And I'd say, wait a minute, you know me, Brother Henry. Hey, it's me. Let me in. Give me pie and tea. And you'd say, no, I don't know you. And I'd say, yeah, you know me. And you'd say, no, the Brother Frazier that I know, he wouldn't come through the window in the middle of the night. He'd come in the right way. And let me tell you something tonight. If you try to get to heaven without Jesus, if you think you're just a good person and you're not that bad, and you ain't done as bad as somebody else, or you go to this church and so you think you're going to get to go because your pastor's Barry Rackley and that's a great thing to have and this church is wonderful, but if you think you're going to go to heaven just because you go to this church or because he's your pastor, hey, that's not the way to go. I said, preacher, I'd get saved, but I don't want to change. I love my music, and I love my markings, and I love all this stuff. And I just don't want to be that real strict Christian like Brother Rackley talking. I just want to be the normal Christian. Let me tell you something. We have not obtained normal Christianity. Watchman Nee had a little book, Normal Christianity. I read it. Son, we ain't even obtained that. Normal Jesus? You think you're normal, Jesus? You think you, hey, we ain't even close. Here's what Brother Fraser would tell you. Forget the strange fire. Stay with the old way.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this man of God. He's doing it exactly like he was doing it when he first come. Amen. You say, yeah, but preacher, we do a little bit different. The walls are got a little tint of green, or we've got some rock up here and it used to. But I'm not talking about your building or what color fabric you got on your pews or carpet colors or stuff like that. I'm talking about that it's still got the same message that he started with 30-something years ago, still telling it the same. It's Jesus. And it's not strange. Amen. It's not strange. Let's bow our heads together tonight real quickly. Amen. It's not strange. It's the same message. It's the same message today as it was then. It's the same message tomorrow. Amen. It's going to be the same. It's the same message. Strange fire. This world is trying their best to get young people. Dragging them off into something strange and something different. Ain't you tired? Ain't you bored of that old way? Ain't you tired of that old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound? What's wrong with what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What's wrong with some of these songs? Nothing. There ain't nothing wrong with it. I mean, you say, well, preacher, I sung a new song and God was on it. Hey, as long as it's mingled with the fire from the old. As long as it's still got a coal from the old. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you, Lord, please, God, help us. Encourage us, Lord. Help this church, Lord. I know there's a great pull from this world. That if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be a success in ministry, we've got to have a huge, big crowd. But God, you didn't call me to have a big, huge crowd. And you didn't call Brother Rackley to have a big, huge crowd or Brother Henry to have a big crowd. You just called us to tell the truth and to tell it the old way. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would encourage us. Lord, there might be a parent here tonight. Lord, this whole message might have been about a parent that their young child, their teenager, is wanting to go a different direction. And they're considering compromising, letting them go, letting them listen to something different, letting them do something different. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage them in this message. Lord, the only thing that's going to work is the old fire, the old way. Help us tonight, Lord Jesus. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.